Well, good afternoon, I was going to say, but it is morning. I started with an early morning this morning, so it feels a little bit like afternoon. But good morning. Hopefully you are having a great morning so far. If not, we are here to turn that whole thing around. Welcome to Good Morning Live. I want to remind you as we get started this morning that we have prayer this evening at Hope City Church at 6:30. And of course, our service begins right at 7 o'clock with a short time of worship and then a teaching. Jen has been this will be her second week of a teaching on Ruth. And it's been really, really good so far. So you don't want to miss that. Now, we promise Wednesday nights to have you out by 8 o'clock. So it's a one-hour service, 7 to 8. And of course, come early, 6:30 for prayer. Prayer is the bedrock, the foundation of everything that we do as a church. And so it's really important that we gather together as believers and pray together and seek the heart of God together. So hopefully I'll see you tonight at 6:30. And then, of course, service at 7. Well, it's been a week so far. We have been diving into the need or the addiction of having the approval of other people. Hopefully this has been inspiring to you and encouraged you and caused you to maybe reevaluate yourself and you know, your decision making and what you factor in and what you don't factor in and how all of this plays out in your life. So I feel like the more we dive into this, the more that I see that, okay, Jim, you gotta rearrange some things. And I've been calling it, like yesterday, I was having a conversation with someone and I was like, you know, describing a thing that I might do. And they were like, oh, you know, I don't think you should do that. And I kind of felt this inward, you know, like, you know what, I'm going to do it just because you don't want me to do it. And I caught myself and I thought, that's almost approval addiction, but in reverse, like that I'm going to do it just because you don't want me to do it, which isn't good either because, you know, obviously we're living for an audience of one. That's what we've been talking about. And that's you know, we make decisions and we move in life and we make changes in life because that's what God or the Holy Spirit is asking us to do. And not because we want somebody's approval or because we're that bitter against somebody that we're like, you know what, I'm going to do it just because you don't want me to do it. Either end of that spectrum is not good. But that I you know, when that popped out to me yesterday, I thought, man, this teaching has been so good because it's helping me, you know, just even identify those places or areas where I'm just sometimes, yep, doing it for the approval of somebody else. But sometimes doing it in spite of somebody else, and that's not good either. Good morning, Cheryl. Good to see you. So we've talked about what approval addiction is. We've talked about how to identify it. But today we are going to talk about the cost, the real price tag that comes when you live for people more than you live for God. Because believe it or not, approval addiction isn't just inconvenient. It isn't just a pattern of thinking. It is dangerous, and it will cost you more than you think. It'll cost you more than you think. Man, this is a serious topic. This is something, man, we got to get if we're going to live lives for God, if we're going to live our lives on display for the kingdom, if we're going to do what God has called us to do. We cannot operate for the approval of people. Why? It is dangerous. It will cost you more than you ever thought it would cost you. It will affect your destiny. It will affect your peace. It will affect your clarity. It will affect your obedience to God. So it's not just about, you know, really a social discomfort. It is about spiritual compromise. That's really what addiction approval is. It is spiritual compromise, that I would compromise what I know God is asking me to do, or I know what is right to do. I know what I should be doing in this season, but not doing it because I'm craving the approval of someone else. It will cost you more than you ever imagined. We've been kind of hanging around Saul here a little bit, and his story and what it cost him. And we can read that again in 1 Samuel 15:24, but it says, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, again, just a little background on this. Saul was anointed by God. He was chosen to lead, but he lost his calling. He lost his kingdom. He lost his credibility. Why? Because he feared what people would say about him, about his leadership. So he obeyed their voice instead of God's. So Saul's approval addiction didn't just cost him, it cost the nation. It cost them greatly. Think about that. What it affected was just not him. It affected the entire nation. When you fear people more than you fear God, you risk forfeiting what heaven assigned to you. Just process that for a minute. I know this is pretty heavy for 8 a.m., but when you fear people more than you fear God, you risk forfeiting what heaven assigned to you. You have a God assignment. You have a destiny attached to your life. You have purpose. You have a call on your life. And we risk forfeiting the call and the plan and the purpose of God when we fear the voices of people and the opinions of people more than we do the voice and the opinions of God. So what I said yesterday is that, you know, we have to get good in the church. We got to get a thicker skin about us. We have to get good at rejection. We have to get good of not being everyone's favorite. We have to get good at not being celebrated all the time. We have to get good of knowing that we are soldiers in an army. And when the commander says go, we go. When he says stay, we stay. When he says break camp, we break camp. Wherever he calls us to go, that's what we do. We have to get good at that. We have to just recognize right from the top when we come into this thing of faith, is that we are in this world, but we are no longer of this world. And everything we do is diametrically opposed and mutually exclusive to the systems of this world. And the world's not going to like it. The world says they celebrate diversity. The world says they celebrate uniqueness and individuality. But the reality is if you're not on the same plane or path as they are, then you're an extremist, a nut, whatever. So we have to get good at settling in that we are following the voice of the Lord, regardless of the cost. We are following the voice of God, regardless of what it cost me, who it cost me, the voices and the opinions of people. Because here's where the rubber meets the road is, Saul feared the opinions of the opinions of people. He feared their voices. So he thought, well, the safest thing to do in this moment is to give in to the people. So that way, you know, the people still like me. I hold my kingdom, not realizing that everything he had wasn't from the people. Everything he had was from the hand of God. So in another sense, he rejected the hand that fed him. Because at some point in his reign, he began to look at the people as his source, then God. And when you look at people as your source other than God, when you have to make those hard stands or those hard calls or those hard decisions to do what it is that you know what is right, to stand, to not compromise, to not back down, to hold your faith, to, you know, I'm not backing up on the word of God, I'm not coming off of the wall, whatever it is. If you don't have a correct understanding that people aren't your source, God is your source, what are you going to do? You're always going to want to navigate to what you think is feeding you. And that's what Saul did. He forgot somewhere along the way that his kingdom was given to him by God. The throne was given to him by God. All that he had was given to him by God. So in rejecting God, listening to the voice of the people, really what he did is he was rejecting the one who had given him everything he has anyway. And how often do we do this as followers of Jesus, where we forget that he is the vine, we are the branches, we have nothing, we can do nothing apart from him. He's our life, our substance, our hope. He gives us the very air within our lungs. But because we fear the opinion of a boss or the opinion of a coworker, what will they think about me? You know, in a restaurant, what are they going to think about us if we stop and fold our hands and pray before we eat? They're going to think we're strange or whatever it is. Really, what we're doing is we are rejecting the one who gives us life for the opinions of people who can offer us nothing. You know, I watched a TikTok last night and I saved it to my phone. I was going to play it today. And then I thought, you know, it wasn't really Christ-centered. And I didn't want to do it, but it was good in that it talked about what happens after your funeral. And it reminded me of what we're talking about. And they said, you know, about an hour after your funeral, people are going to be eating and finishing the potato salad and cleaning up plates. A few days after your funeral, your children are going to have to go back to work because their bereavement time is over. A few weeks after your funeral, your spouse is going to be watching a comedy show on TV and chuckle for the first time. Years after your funeral, the loads of junk that people saved, you know, from you is going to mean a little bit less, and it'll be dwindled down to a smaller box. And it went on and you know, through all that. I thought all of that was really good. And then here's where it turned. They said, you know, so just live for yourself. And I didn't like that part. But, you know, but the point of it is we're making these decisions and for people who, you know, the day we die, we leave this earth. They're going to have to move on. They're going to have to do what they do, go back to work, eat, you know, live life. And years to come, you know, we will be a distant memory to them. And the point of the TikTok was, you know, live for yourself, dude, you know, and I don't believe that, but I'd switch it and say live for God, because when I leave this planet, the only one who's going to matter is God. The only voice that I'm looking to say, well done, good and faithful servant, is the Lord's, right? So I dare say is the truth, and that is, who are you living for? What approval are you living for? Because in the end, it does not matter. Only the voice of the Lord matters. So let me give you a few quick things of what it will cost you when you begin to live for the approval of other people. Number one, it will cost you your assignment. When you live for applause, you compromise the anointing. When you live for the applause, you will always compromise the anointing. Well, what's the anointing? The anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God that is manifested on a person or sent on a person, given to a person. We all have our own individual anointings to perform what it is that God has called you to do. It's that God breath that is breathed on us. You know, a singer can sing and it's great and it gives you tickles and it's wonderful and it's pleasing to the ear, and man, their skill is fantastic. But you can get another singer who's just so-so, but they have the anointing on their life, that breath from God that can break yokes and burdens and addictions and all kind of stuff off of people, where the other one who may have been more skilled can't. Why? Because the anointing makes the difference. And when you begin to compromise and live for the applause of people, you will always forfeit the anointing, because the anointing is not given by God for your applause. The anointing is given by God to impact and affect the lives of people. It is to break off the addictions and burdens and yokes. It destroys what the enemy has done, and it brings freedom to the captives in the room. So that's what the anointing is to do. It's not to give us applause. So when we make a change that now we are living for the applause of people and not out of assignment from God, it will always cost us the anointing. You're hesitate, you're delay. You will disobey God because you're too worried about what people will think. You'll choose the safe route over the spirit-led route. Like Jonah, you run from your assignment just to preserve your image. We read this the other day, but again, I want to repeat it again today. Galatians 1:10, if pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. The truth is you cannot obey God fully and chase approval simultaneously. I mean, if you go throughout scripture, people who and even history, anyone who's really done something significant for God always came on the back. Most of the time, the praise and the celebration was after the fact. Many times, those people who have pioneered new ground in Christ, new ground in faith, new territories, or brought the faith back to the heart of the gospel. Like Rod Parsley just released a new book that I'm so excited about. It's a second, really, of his revival. We've read that and we did that as a church, but he released a new book yesterday called Pentecost If, and we're going to go through this in a few weeks as a church, and I'm excited about it. But you know, he's been one of those voices who have just maintained, regardless of ridicule, regardless of what church trends were saying, you know, regardless of what, you know, society was saying is acceptable, is we hold to Pentecost. We do not let Pentecost slip through our fingers. We do not lower the standard. You know, I can't tell how many times I've heard that, you know, if you want your church to grow, here's A, B, and C that you have to do. And the reality is, and let me just say this, the reality is most of those things work. Most of those things work. But when we start living, listen, if the church exists, if our role is to exist, to find out what people want, and to give it to them, then we're not the church. The church is supposed to be the home base that calls you and convicts you. And, you know, of course, we love and we celebrate and we're a hospital for sick people, 100%. But the church is supposed to be the standard bearer for the word of God. And sometimes that's convicting. Sometimes that's not pleasant to hear. Sometimes you got to just say, you know what, it's sin. And if you stay in it, it's going to cost you. And sometimes you just got to say, listen, if you keep going down that road, it's going to ruin your life. But, you know, modern church says, well, let's not do that because we don't want to offend anybody. And you know, we just want to love them with the love of Christ. And of course we do. Of course we do. But I don't put my children in car seats and strap them in because I hate them. I put them in car seats because I know it produces safety in their life. I don't force my children to eat broccoli because I hate them. I force them to eat broccoli because I love them and I know it will produce good things in my life. I don't tell my children, hey, don't run with a knife or scissors because I hate them. I tell them, don't run with knives or scissors because I love them, because I know that has the ability, what you're holding in your hand has the ability to bring complete destruction to your life. And, you know, I heard it said years ago, and it's always stuck with me, that sin is, here's what sin is. We always talk about sin, 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 sin. And it has a very negative, obviously, notion to it, but sin, what it is God looking into your future and seeing that that thing has the ability to bring pain or destruction in your life. So God looks at a thing and says, that has the ability, running with scissors, right? Has the ability to bring pain or destruction in your life. And we call it sin, but what it is God calling out and warning and saying, don't. not because he's mean, not because he's angry, not because he doesn't love you, not because he's a strict rule keeper, but because he loves you, he looks into your future and says, that thing has the ability to take you out. And because I love you, I don't want you to burn your hand. Because I love you, I don't want you to fall on scissors. Because I love you, I don't want you to be cruising down a highway as a child, not in a car seat, right? So he puts those safety measures and things to say, listen, because I love you, I want you safe. I want you secure. So when we disobey God for the opinions of people, that's why destruction is always knocking at the door. That's why we're saying that it'll always lead to compromise. It will always lead to failure in our life. Because following God's way isn't the way of even just say hardship isn't the way of pain or less than. No, God's way is the way of saying, you know what? Here are some things that will destroy your life. Steer clear from them and you will have a great life. And when we reject God's way to choose people's way, it will always cost us in the end. So the first thing is it will cost you your assignment. The second thing is it will cost you peace of mind. Approval addiction will always torment your thoughts. Come on, this is so tiring. This is so tiring. I've been here. Thoughts like, what do they think of me? Why didn't they respond? What does that mean? Reading into the situation over and over and over again. So worried about if you will offend somebody. So worried about their opinions or thoughts about you. Why did they respond to me? What if I offended somebody? You will lose sleep trying to manage everyone else's opinions. You know, there's this new, I don't want to say new theology, but this new wave that's kind of coming through psychology and self-help. But it's called the let them theology. And I don't assign to all of it, but in the core of it, a lot of times what these things do is it takes biblical principles and masks them as something else. And they're like, oh, it works. Well, yeah, because you're practicing the Bible, but that's neither here nor there. But it's called this let them, you know, theology. And what it is it's saying that if somebody wants to walk out of your life, let them. If somebody, you know, wants to talk about you, let them. Like, that's not your burden to carry, right? And, you know, again, they've masked it as something else, but on the opposite side of that, there's so much truth and wisdom in that. I am responsible for my domain. I'm responsible for my house and me and my family. And even at that, I mean, I'm responsible for my kids to a certain point, but, you know, my wife Sarah sent out this thing that she saw just that talks about, you know, I'm not my kids' Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, at the age that my kids are, we are, right? But, you know, as your kids grow and they become adults, you're not their Holy Spirit. You can't go where they're going. You can't be with them 24/7. And, you know, if you've taught them the word, then they know the word. And they have the Holy Spirit, and you have to let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit and let him convict and let him. And at some point, you just have to let them. You just have to let them. Why? Because you will run yourself ragged. You will physically and spiritually come apart trying to navigate someone else's life that you do not have control over. And I can't do that. So what do I have to do is I have to let them. I have to say, what is in my realm of authority? What do I have control over? And if it's outside of that, then I have to let them. I can't change someone's attitude. I can't change their opinion about me. I can't change, you know, I heard this teaching the other day from actually Miss Joni Parsa. She was teaching at Valor College. And was talking about the phrase that she had learned, that those who don't like you never will, and those who love you always will. And I thought, man, that is so good, because, you know, in this journey of people pleasing and trying to, you know, gain people's approval, those that don't like you are never going to like you. they're just never going to like you, because 99.9% of the time, it is not a you issue. It is a them issue. They typically have broken relationships in their life. They typically have some wounding on the inside of them, or they have jealousy, or they look at you as their competition, or, you know, you living for God points out their inability to choose the right thing, you know, whatever it is. And that is a them issue and not a you issue. So when you are striving because, man, I don't know why my boss just doesn't like me. I don't, you know, maybe because you do good work and you are his competition. Man, if they keep doing work like that, and maybe he's not saying it verbally, but internally there's that, man, they're really good. What if they take my job? You know, and they're trying to keep you down with their thumb because, man, it's, but again, that's a them issue and not a you issue. And I can't change them. I can't change their opinion. I can't change their woundedness. I can't change their brokenness. And what if I go down that route, I will wear myself out physically. I will wear myself out mentally. I will wear myself out spiritually. Even in my mental health will be disrupted. Why? Because I am striving to get something to happen that I can never get to happen. And that's to change someone's opinion about me. And it doesn't really matter. I mean, again, don't even spend the time thinking, well, why don't they like me? Oh, I'll tell you why they don't like, you know, it doesn't, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Those who don't like you will never like you, but those who love you will always love you. They'll love you. You know, they know your faults. They know your good things. They know your bad things. They've been with you through the thick and the thin of it, and they love you and they love you, and that's all right. And if something changes in that realm, then again, I have to let them. So stop trying to change people. Stop trying to manage everyone else's opinions. That's a them problem. That's between them and the Lord. You know, the Bible says that we will stand before the Father and give an account for everything, every work that we did on this earth. They will have to answer to God. If they gossiped about me behind my back, if they, you know, tried to hold me back. And listen, if a boss doesn't like you and is trying to hold you back, come on, you've got the anointing on your life. You've got God on your side. You've got angels surrounding you. All heaven backs you. Come on. God will do whatever he has to do to move whoever he has to out of the way to get you in where you need to be. So what you don't need to do is tear that person down and, you know, try to move them out of the way so that you can drop all that. Let God be the vindicator. The battle belongs to the Lord, not us. Right? Maybe he's trying to heal them in their brokenness and is using us as a tool to do it, right? So we just stay submitted to God. So you will lose sleep trying to manage everyone else's opinions. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." Come on. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Fearing man is a snare. So some may trust in chariots and some may trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. We will not fear man. Come on, that is so good. So God's peace cannot rule in a heart where public opinion still reigns. We talked about this a few weeks ago, but allowing peace to reign. Something is ruling in your heart. And if a public opinion has rulership of your heart, then peace will never have rulership. I don't know. I mean, you know, some of y'all who are years beyond me maybe can school me on this, but it seems like, and maybe this is just a me thing, it's not an everybody thing, but the older I get, the less I care about. I mean, there's still some of that in there that God's rooting out of me and I'm working on, but I feel like age is playing, leaning into caring less and less and less about what people think. You know, it's like the older I get, it's like, you know what? I'm not ashamed that mowing grass makes me happy and gardening is my mental break in life. You know, I was saying on Sunday, about how much I love my cars from the 80s. And, you know, and what's interesting about that, and I'm a student, may not care about it, but it's my story, so I'm telling it. But, is, you know, cars from the 80s aren't really antique enough to be antique cars that people are into, but I just love them. And so after church on Sunday, when I was just, you know, preaching along these lines, and I was just saying how God even had to deliver me, you know, caring what people think about what car I'm driving, because I want to drive my 1981 Ford Thunderbird. I love it, and it's sweet to me. So, but Sarah afterwards was like, yeah, you should have told him the story of the one time I had to take the kids. So I had the van, and then we didn't have the truck at the time. So then she took the Thunderbird and to her school where she works. And the secretary said, hey, were you driving a strange car today? And Sarah was like, yeah, it's my husband's car. And she was like, oh, because somebody called the school saying that a really scary and strange car was pulling around into the back parking lot. And she was like, never again am I driving your car. But anyway, she said Sunday, she goes, you should have told the people that about your Thunderbird. Well, but anyway, yeah, I don't know. It just seems like the older I get, the less I care. But like I said, when we were opening up, and just in case you're just hopping on, is where sometimes I have to watch the opposite, where it's like, you know what, I'm going to do this just because you don't want me to do it. And that's not God either, you know? So we got to be careful in that. So number three, living off of people's approval will waste your time and your energy. You will spend hours trying to please people who aren't even paying attention. They don't care, right? You rearrange your calendar. You neglect your own needs. Your own needs. You stay in toxic circles just to keep the peace. You're saying yes to people while silently saying that no should have been my response. The truth is, you're not called to be everyone's savior. That's Jesus's job. So stop trying to rescue everyone and please everyone and be everyone's everything. You were created to fulfill one assignment, and that's the God assignment on your life. The more you live, and I think we're going to get in a little bit of that more tomorrow, of learning to say no to people. But in chasing people's approval and opinions, you will also lose your voice. Your approval addiction silences your witness. You won't share your faith. You won't confront injustice or tell the truth in love because you're afraid it won't be received, right? So silence in moments of conviction is often a sign of fear-based living. Silence in moments of conviction is often a sign of fear-based living. And then lastly, the fifth one for today is it will silence your spiritual maturity. You cannot grow in God and remain obsessed with human opinion. It just won't work. Approval addiction stunts your ability to hear God clearly. It stunts your willingness to follow him fully and stops your ability to suffer well for righteousness' sake. Come on, we need some of that, to suffer well for righteousness' sake. Come on, in modern church, if it involves suffering, oh, well, then it's not God, because they told me when I got saved, everything's going to be perfect and all right. Come on, sometimes you got to suffer well for Christ's sake. Sometimes it means to stand up for righteousness, to have spiritual maturity, to be grown spiritually, to be strong spiritually. Means I have to die to the opinions of other people. Matthew 10:28 says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both the soul and body in hell. So do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Come on. That's right, sure. We tend to run from suffering. But come on, how many of us are saying, you know what? If it means I'm persecuted, then I will suffer well. If it means I'm rejected, then I will suffer well. If it means that, you know, because I have to make a stand for righteousness, my business will suffer, then it will suffer well. Because I am not living for the opinions of people. I'm not living for money. I'm not living for other things. I'm living for an audience of one. Living for approval keeps you in spiritual infancy, dependent, insecure, and self-centered. Oh, I love that. It keeps you in spiritual infancy, dependent, insecure, and self-centered. Stop being dependent on everyone's opinion of you. Stop being so insecure about who you are. Celebrate who you are. Celebrate your uniqueness. Celebrate the God call on your life. And really, the root of it is self-centeredness craves the opinion of people. Why? Because it's like, well, it's all about me. And what do they think about me? And what if they don't like me? Come on, if you're trying to make impact for the kingdom of God, you think of like, I don't know why, but I think of like Mother Teresa or something. Like some people liked her, some people didn't like her method. But like when you are busy feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and about the kingdom's business, you just don't have time to care what anybody else thinks about you. Why? Because you're doing it. It's like at some point, stop wasting the energy caring about what somebody else thinks and put that energy into just doing it. Like the more we go back and forth, well, what do you think about this? And what's your opinion on that? And, you know, listening to the voices who say, well, you can't do that and you can't show them. Just put that energy into doing it. And those same people still won't like it. Even when you've done it and can prove it, they still won't like you. Well, I don't like how you did it. Well, you know what? I did something. You know, sometimes you got to just say that in life. You know, it may not be perfect and it may not be everybody's cup of tea, but I'm doing something. I'm making some type of an impact. I'm doing what I can and I'm moving forward, right? We talked about this a while ago. Sometimes you just have to make a decision and move forward. Does it mean it's always perfect? No. Does it mean it always is right? No. But I think God honors movement more than he honors no movement, because I think I was actually in a gym yesterday, not there to work out, was touring the facility for another reason. But anyway, but they had a sign on the wall that said indecision or no decision is a decision. And I thought, man, that is so good. No decision is a decision. So sometimes you just got to make a decision regardless of other people's opinions. So Father, we thank you today for being with us on this live, Father. And we thank you that we are coming to you with our hands and our hearts and our minds and our spirits open. And we are asking you, would you root out all fear of people? Like Matthew 10:28 said, Father, that we would not fear those who kill the body, but those that can kill the soul. But Father, that you would root out that fear of man, fear of what people think, fear of rejection, fear of others' opinions about us. Would you root that out of us, Father? Would you again help us commit to live for that audience of one, that we live in your eyes, and as long as you are pleased, then we are at peace. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, thank you so much for being with me today. It has been such an honor, as always, to spend this time together. Again, I want to remind you, we got prayer tonight at 6:30. You do not want to miss it. It's always good. And then at 7 o'clock, we're going to have a time of worship. Jen's going to continue her teaching on Ruth, which is powerful. And we promise to have you out by 8 o'clock. So 6:30 prayer, 7 o'clock service. I'll see you tonight right here at Hope City Church. Amen. Be blessed and have a great, great day.